Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
So if you don't know me, my name is Jerry Dorsami. Don't worry about the last name, but I'm one of the members of the church here. This is my home. I call this place home. My wife is in the front, Katie Baldry, sitting next to the famous Matt Don. Oh, sorry, she actually has my last name now. Dorsami, Katie Dorsami. We got married in October. It's pretty recent, right? So I get to end off this series, the series we are in called Life. Earlier this morning, I said, I'm ending off the Life series, which, what did I say? We're ending our life or something like that, but it was really bad. But it's the series of life, and today's the last sermon, okay? So we're going to go over the story of Zacchaeus. Who knows Zacchaeus? You know that song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. No? All right. They probably know it in Sunday school. Kids, yeah, do you know it? Yeah, sweet. See? Kids work. Kids team. Shout out to the kids team. Okay, so you can go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So Zacchaeus' life was really good, okay? He had all the money he wanted, okay? He had the big screen TV at home. He would go home. He would count his stacks of money. It was good. Maybe there was no TVs. Actually, there was probably no stacks of money. It was actually coins. So it would have been a ton of coins he had everywhere. And he was the chief tax collector. So this means he had other tax collectors reporting to him. He was getting a cut of other tax collectors, whatever they were collecting. And he would essentially, these guys would essentially go to these people's houses and say, hey, you got to pay a Roman tax. But instead of saying, hey, you know, give me $20, which what the tax was, they would take $30 and they would pocket $10. So they were just hustlers. They were hustling all day. That's what they did. Okay? And they were despised. They were considered as one of the worst sinners of that time in that area. So, but Zacchaeus was curious. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Another version said he sought after Jesus. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Say, aw. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. Now, does that song ring a bell? Zacchaeus? Yeah, there you go. Sycamore tree. There you go. Since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. I think the other version says, just come down immediately. So he's like, I want to come to your house. I want to eat some food. I want to get to know you, okay? And then all the people saw this and began to murmur. He has gone to the guest of a sinner. So remember, everyone is looking at Zacchaeus climbing this tree, and they know who he is, right? It's like he's not just an ordinary tax collector where, oh, that guy's a tax collector. They knew him by name because he was the chief tax collector. So they're like, what is Zacchaeus doing on the tree? Like, we hate him. Why is he even here? Okay? So that's why they're all talking really badly about him, okay? They were gossiping about him. They didn't like him, okay? And so, essentially, they go home, they're hanging out, and then in verse 8 it says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Say four times. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. So the title of this message is called Life as You Know It. It might be Life as We Know It, but whatever you want to put down, Life as You Know It. So Zacchaeus' curiosity sparked a desire. He sparked a desire to seek Jesus, okay? He had everything he wanted. Life as he knew it was about getting his money, was about maybe growing his career, maybe growing his reputation with the Roman government. Because you see, Zacchaeus betrayed his people. You know those movies when the guy who would go work for the evil big corporation or whatever it is, you know, but he betrays his people because he needs to get a job with this big evil group or gang or whatever, just so he can make his money. So he betrayed his people. He left his people and he went and took this job, okay, to make money. And so, again, everybody hated him. But I think Zacchaeus doing that, going door to door, going to house and collecting the money and making the extra pocket cash, I think he felt, oh, yeah, this is cool. I got some extra cash in my pocket. But as soon as he went home, I don't know if he felt fulfilled. We're in this series saying Jesus has come to give life and life to the fullest, right? Or Jesus has come to give life and life abundantly, right? And something happened where this desire sparked to go see Jesus. Because I've been hearing about this Jesus guy. He's been healing people. He's been spreading the love. Like, who is this guy? He's perfect. I got to go see him. Because maybe he could give me the answer to my problems. I don't know. So I'm going to go see him. I can't see him because I'm short. So I'm going to go climb this tree. Jesus says in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. If you look at this story, you see the story of Zacchaeus, who has this life that seems all good, seems like it's the best life, but he ends up losing it for Jesus' sake, and he finds it because Jesus says salvation has come to your home. And that brings me to my first point, finding life by following Jesus. Finding life by following Jesus. Who do you follow? Who do you follow on Instagram? That's a good one. There's certain people you could follow that will bring life, right? There's certain people that you might follow that may not necessarily bring life. They promise life that may not bring life. Who are the friends that you follow? What media do you follow? I have some good friends that I get to follow. We hung out on Friday night. I was with Pastor Sam. Who loves Pastor Sam and Pastor Jess? They are the best pastors. They're holding it down at the East Campus today. But I was with Pastor Sam and Jesse and a few others and Josh and Pastor Greg. And these guys decide to go golfing. And I'm like, man, I hate golfing. Golfing is an activity. It's not a sport. I don't want to stand on the golfing field and sweat, okay? I'm not doing this. If I'm going to sweat, hold up, let me finish. If I want to sweat, I want to play basketball, right? I want to play hockey. But anyways, what happened was I could have followed them or I could have went to the hot tub that was there, right? And just chill, have a drink and just chill in the hot tub and just rest. Because, you know, I'm prepping for today's message, right? But to me, what's also very important and what I value is community. Community with my boys, you know? And so I'm like, yeah, Pastor Sam, I'll come with you guys. So we go. You know, it was actually probably one of the best experiences of my life, playing golf. I've changed. I've had a revelation. So we get there. The guy gives us like half price off, okay? There is no one on the field. He gives us 3 carts for the price of 2. Sorry? The course. See, I told you, I don't know golf. Okay? I know courts. I know soccer field. Anyways. So listen. And we get to the first, what's the first thing called? A hole. Yeah. It's a hole. You put the ball in the hole, right? And so we get to the first hole, and you know, Jesse's giving me some tips. It's like, you know, it's all in the hips, you know? You guys seen Happy Gilmore? No? All right. I felt like happy that day. Anyways. So, you know, the first couple of shots, really bad. But it's okay. Pastor Greg was terrible. Josh was terrible. So it made me feel better, okay? Jesse and Pastor Sam, though, they were really good. And then you get used to it. And then all of a sudden, you hit this ball, and it just goes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, where is that going? Like, and then it's like, oh, my gosh, this is the best feeling ever. And then it drops into the water. There was lakes everywhere or ponds everywhere. There was this addiction all of a sudden. I just loved it. I was like, I just want to get that ball up in the sky. That's all. I don't care if it goes near the hole. Just let it soar. That's what I want to do. It's like a football. When you're throwing it in the sky, you just want to get that nice spiral. That's what I felt about the golf ball. And all of a sudden, I found enjoyment. I found life in golf. Who knew? Who knew? What I'm trying to say is there's choices we have to follow. There's opportunities we have to follow. I could have chosen to follow what I knew, which was the hot tub, which I thought would have brought me enjoyment and happiness. But I went to golf, and I know for sure that that golf was much better than the hot tub by myself. And Luke chapter 18. See, now Colin likes me. He's like, oh, yes, I'm listening now. You're talking about good things about golf. So Luke chapter 18, the chapter right before Zacchaeus, we hear the story of the rich young ruler. Okay? I think it's up. So the rich young ruler was this guy who said, Jesus, I got everything. I've obeyed my father and mother. I haven't killed anyone. I've obeyed all the commandments. So I'm good, right? He says, what else do I need to do to have eternal life? What else do I need to do to come follow you? And Jesus says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. He had an opportunity to follow Jesus. He could have probably been the 13th disciple. Who knows? Jesus said, come follow me. And then it says at the end there, it says, yeah, sorry, we hear this, he got very sad because he was very wealthy. And what happened was he sort of just heard that from Jesus. And Jesus with his disciples, and they're talking, and he just ghosted. He just left. He didn't follow Jesus. Because he thought his abundance was in his wealth. Zacchaeus, when he met Jesus, when he got to know Jesus, he realized that his abundance is not in his wealth, but it's actually in Jesus. He had an abundant opportunity to follow Jesus. When Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus didn't wait and say, hold up, I just got up. I just got up to see you. You want me to come down while all these people are looking? Who's ever climbed a tree? You guys climbed a tree in front of people? It's challenging sometimes, you know? Michael, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you climb a tree and then you have to come down. You want to land on your feet, you know, because people are watching. See, everybody's watching. But Zacchaeus, with no hesitation, comes down immediately. Not even knowing who Jesus is, just heard of him. And he comes down immediately because there was an opportunity he wanted to seize. You won't find abundance from this world, church. You'll find abundance in Jesus. And that's my next point. Finding abundance by knowing Jesus, by knowing who he is in your life. There's power in knowing something. You know, there's power in knowing how good golf is. I could have missed out on life. I really would have felt that way because I had one of the best times. I was in India on a mission trip, and you think I'm Sri Lankan, by the way. So you think it's like the same, but it's not. Okay, it's very different. So, you know, I'm doing things how I do. You know, so we eat food, Indian food, rice and curry with our hands, and I eat with my left hand. But in India, I was getting all these looks, like weird looks. You know, like crazy eyes or like, you know, cut eye, whatever you want to call it. And it felt like, you know, there was just like, what is this guy doing? He's eating with his left hand. We wash a bum with a left hand. He didn't say that, but I felt it with his eyes. You know, it's just like, it just translated over to my mind. And I'm like, man, why is everyone looking at me? And then this guy had to come talk to me after. He's like, hey, you know, they clean with their left hand. They eat with their right hand. So when they wash their bum, they don't want to do it with the same hand. I'm like, but we got soap in Canada. Like, I guess they didn't have soap. So anyways, if I knew that before, I might have changed something. If I knew that before, I probably just would have forced myself to eat with my right hand. And I tried, and it was hard. Like, you're not supposed to have food in the palm. I had food all over my hand because it was just really hard with my right hand. Zacchaeus got to know Jesus, and that changed something. It said he gave away half his possessions. It says he paid time four times what he owed, which he didn't have to. In Philippians 3, it says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. That was Paul talking. Paul, who was high among the Pharisees. Paul, who was a high leader. And all of a sudden, he leaves that behind. He lost his life for Jesus. Lost his life that he had for Jesus so he could actually find it and pretty much write the whole New Testament. Most of it. And he says, I consider all those things as lost for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Do you guys know Jesus? Abundance is not accumulated from things. It is accumulated from a person. It is drawn from a person. And his name is Jesus. It's not what you have, church. It's who you have. It's not the things I have at home. It's the Jesus I have in the Word of God. When I go home, I get to read. It's who I have that when I'm feeling anxious at school and studying exams, it's who I have that gives me the peace that transcends all understanding. It's not what I have in the anxiety of my relationships, in the stress at work. It's who I have. It's not the fear that I have when I have to go to work because I have this presentation or I'm not making enough. It's who I have that His perfect love cast out all fear. Do you know Jesus? Do you know your word? Church, Jesus is the abundance. Knowing Jesus is like, it's like the secret sauce. You know? It's like your mom's secret ingredient to carrot cake. What does your mom make? Does your mom bake? Apple pie. It's probably the best apple pie. But I tell you something. There's something that she has in that apple pie that you don't know, that I don't know, because it is the secret ingredient to make your mom's apple pie the best apple pie. Sorry? Oh, love. I should have put that in. Dang, that's good. It's in there. I just should have connected it better. But that's good. Knowing Jesus. Okay, let's go back to the story, okay? So you see Zacchaeus on the tree. You know, maybe about to fall off. Not sure if he should even be there. Maybe he's saying, oh, I should climb off now because everyone's looking at me. People are going to probably throw some rocks at me. They don't like me. And Jesus walks in and looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Calls him by name. Zacchaeus didn't know he knew him. Calls him by name and says, come down. Zacchaeus on the tree. Jesus, why? How do you even know me? These people don't like me. You don't want to be seen with me. None of these people like me. Am I going to come down and you're just going to correct me? Am I going to come down and you're just going to push me away? Am I going to come down? Are you just going to give me a lesson? Why do you want me to come down? And he says, I must abide at your house. I must abide at your house. Some of you may feel that. Some of you may feel, man, Jerry, I'm too far gone. The life I live is too far away. Jesus doesn't want that. Jesus doesn't want my mess. Maddie Simmons preached an amazing sermon a few weeks ago and talked about life in the mess. There's actually life in the mess. And the mess is where Jesus comes through. Some of you today are feeling that way. And I'm telling you, Jesus wants to come into that world. He wants you to know His power, because His power is the abundance that's going to carry you through the obstacle. It's going to carry you through the trial. It's going to carry you through the hardship. Just to know Jesus. When Jesus was walking with Zacchaeus, I tell you the thought he thought. What kind of love is this? What kind of love when everybody hates me, when I don't deserve it, I've taken everybody's money away, but you want to hang with me? You stand for good. You stand for truth. You stand for hope. But you want to hang with me that stand for the opposite? What kind of feelings was he going through? That is unconditional love, church. And that's the same love that he gives to you. In Ephesians 3:17-19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up in the fullness of God. So when he says the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, he's not talking about godly knowledge, he's talking about worldly knowledge. He's saying that the love of God is surpassing anything of this worldly knowledge that you may think of. How wide? How wide is His love? When you study this verse, it talks about a river. How wide a river is. That the river is wide enough to cover any of your sin. The river is wide enough to cover any of your issues, to cover any of your problems. It's a fresh, living water that will cover it. How deep is his love for you? Deep enough for him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to become a human, to die on the cross for you, to suffer the worst form of torture for you. That's how deep his love is for you. How long is his love for you? It's an everlasting love. The day you decide to meet Jesus, he loves you. The day you were born, he loves you. The day you give up, he loves you. The day you lose your job, he loves you. The day you lose a relationship, he loves you. The day you marry your wife or your husband, he loves you. It doesn't change. It is a long love. And how high is his love for you? His love that lifts you up. His love that will carry you through. There's no other love than Jesus' love. I was thinking of that song, even as we were praying today. I don't think it's a Christian song, but it's actually the song that was sung at our wedding. Your love is lifting me higher. And I was singing that song, and I was just thinking, that's a song to Jesus, to me. His love is always lifting me higher. When I'm in my lowest place, he's lifting me higher. When Zacchaeus was in his lowest place, he lifted him higher. When the rich young ruler was actually in this worldly high place, and he knew it wasn't fulfilling, but all he could think of was the short-term gain. Don't ever think about the short-term gain. Think about the long-term gain. If all I could gain is Christ, that is the long-term gain. See, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. There's nothing wrong. What I'm trying to say is change your perspective and know that Jesus is first. Jesus is the abundance. Knowing him is the abundance. And everything else will come. There's a verse in Matthew 6 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. What he's saying is, put God your first. You know, you like golf and golf stuff, and that's great. You know, that's awesome. You could go golf. I'm not saying you to stop golfing, you know. I'm not saying you not to buy, like, good stuff. If you like good stuff, that's cool. But put Jesus as your first. Don't find your worth out of that stuff. Find your worth out of Jesus. Thanks, man. So we were in, I went to Morocco. This was like 10 years ago, okay? I'm in a missions organization, and I wasn't having the best life here, and I decided I need to leave. I need to get out of my comfort zone. I needed to kind of, in a sense, lose my life for Jesus so I could actually find it. And what helped was this group of Christian people, and we traveled, we read the Bible, and we got to go to Morocco. Now, I was a bit rebellious. I was probably the rebellious one in the group. I actually made my leader cry. My leader told me once, she's like, or in the group, in front of everyone, she's like, Jerry, you slept in today, so you can't come to ministry. And I was like, huh? I was like, shouldn't I be going to ministry because I need the change? And so I called her stupid, which was bad, okay, in front of everyone. And sorry, it's not funny because I regret it. She got up and she said, okay, I'm just going to leave for a moment. And then everyone, there was just silence. And she came back 5 minutes later with, you know, you could tell. It was just that post-cry syndrome was happening. And that's when the guilt came in and everything. And that's when the team maybe looked at me differently. We ended up going to Morocco after France. Well, that was another thing. I was in France. I'm like, who the heck needs missions in France? Like, I wanted to go to I wanted to go to Africa. I had all these expectations. I had all these hopes. I had all these things lined up. It's interesting how God sometimes will orchestrate something differently for his purpose. It's interesting. Maybe you might feel that it's not happening. It's not working. I'm just telling you, God's hijacking your life right now, and he's going to do something better for you in the process. So in Morocco, everything fell through. Every ministry opportunity fell through. And I was like, God, what's going on? Like, I've come here to know you. I've come to get to know you, and I want other people to know you. And I was sitting on the top of the roof, and I started reading my Bible. And that was the first time ever the Bible started becoming life to me. I started reading it differently. I started internalizing it differently. And I got to know Jesus through the Word. And we go on the third day of a trip after doing nothing, right? We go and we see these, like, these parkour boys, like, hanging out in the park, just doing their flips and stuff. And we can't do that. And also, they speak French and they speak Arabic, okay? There was one guy who knew a little bit of English. We hung out with them that one day. We hung out with them the day after that. We hung out with them every other day for the rest of the 3 weeks we were there. And these connections developed, these relationships developed. And I remember, and this is the, if I can remember, the one thing that pops to mind when I talk about Morocco is one of the boys and all the group of boys are hanging out. Me and my team are having lunch with them. And one of the boys says, so you've come to Morocco to show Jesus' love to us. And I'm like, heck yeah. That's why we're here. And then all the boys got up and started hugging us. And they were all Muslim. Okay? I don't know what's happened to them now. But in that moment, in that hug from someone who didn't know Jesus, I felt the love of God. Because Jesus decided to use me when I thought I was unusable. Jesus decided to use me when I thought I was rejected by my team. Jesus still decided to use me. And that, to me, that was the love of God. I came into this church 4.5 years ago. And it was all white people. Okay, nothing against white people. But I was like the only colored person. Okay? And I was like, oh, I'm not going to fit in with these guys. I grew up in Brampton, so my church was like very multicultural. And these guys are not going to want to hang with me. But the passion for Jesus that they had in this church, I couldn't shake it off. I sat in the back row in the dark so no one would talk to me. I came in, got my dose of God, and then I went to another church to hang out with my friends that went to that church. Eventually, what happened was probably the third Sunday in, Pastor Sam saw me, started asking me questions, invited me for coffee, took me out for lunch, told me to move where I was living to Toronto, said, gave me a sense of purpose and mission. He's like, I need your help. You have something to offer. You have a purpose. And I moved to Toronto and I joined that church, joined this church. God's love. If you can know how much He loves you, I think it's going to carry you through so many things. If you can know, if you can recognize that the love that He has for you is actually abundance that He has for you, you are going to conquer in life. You are going to go through things you couldn't go through before because you were doing it on your own strength. But now you're going through God's strength and you're doing it. I'm living my best life right now. This is my best life. If I get the keys up. I made some of the best friends through the teams that I served on. Who would have known that, like, now I get to help lead in the setup and tear down team for this church? Where's my muscles at? Come on. That camaraderie, that team. They're not just my team, they're my family. And that's my abundant life. That's where I find abundance. My man Rodrigo sitting in the front here has every excuse to say, Jerry, I can't serve on a team. Jerry, I can't give because I really need to take in and study all the time. But he prioritizes giving for a reason. Abundant life actually comes from a place of giving, not receiving. It comes from service. It comes from generosity. That's what abundant life is. Zacchaeus gave to the poor. He didn't have to give to the poor, but he gave to the poor because it was part of Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission was to heal the poor, to be with the poor. In Isaiah, there's a prophecy about Jesus, and it says He's come to preach the good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And Zacchaeus aligns with that purpose. He says, Jesus, you are amazing. I love you. I can't believe how much you love me. I'm compelled to give half my possessions to the poor. I'm compelled to give 4 times back to what I've owed people. Because I know you. Because all that matters is you. All that matters is your love for me. It doesn't matter what people think about me. You look at me differently. You look at me as a son. You look at me as a daughter of Christ. Let the haters hate. They will see the transformation in you. They will see the life change in you. Why? Because you know Jesus. Why? Because you're walking differently. There's a new weight to your step. You are a new creation when you come to Jesus. What Zacchaeus gave wasn't just for a satisfaction of his sins. It was to recognize the sense of them and to recognize a repentance to Jesus. He wasn't giving it just to satisfy what he did. He gave it because he understood what he did and he repented to Jesus and he wanted to, there was a change in his mind. There's a disposition in his mind when you read that. You know what the disposition was? He knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. My third point is finding abundant life is giving it all to Jesus. You find life by following Jesus. You find abundance by knowing Jesus. And you find abundant life by giving it all to Jesus. You know, for students that are in the room, I know how it is. I can really relate to you. When I was studying for exams, and sometimes I would overstudy. Like, you only needed like a 4-hour study for that exam. I would overstudy. I would go to like 12 hours. Because my parents, every time, no offense to parents, we love parents, okay? But my parents would look at me and the same thing, like that time in India, like, Jenny, if you don't pass this exam, if you don't get 100%, we'll kick you out of the house. And that's the eye they gave me. And that's the message that came across. But what that did was it caused me anxiety. And what I actually needed was to give some time to God. I needed to give some time to God. I needed to give some time in prayer to get to know Him. And I actually had to give some time in the church to serve on a team. And you know what that did actually for serving on a team? You know what that did? It put me in community. It took the focus off of me and put the focus onto others. And sometimes we just need to put some focus onto others. You know what happened to Zacchaeus? He didn't go back to his tax collecting days. He actually became a bishop of Sicily. That's what it says. That's what scholars think. That's what research says. And that's what he did for the rest of his days. He left his tax collecting days and became a bishop to serve Jesus, to serve His purpose. I'm not telling you to quit your job. What I'm telling you is you have a purpose. No matter where you're placed, whatever company you're placed at, whatever institution you're placed at, whatever school you're in, there's still a purpose and there's a place for you to serve your purpose, and that is in the house of God. That is in the house of God. Matthew 20:28 says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was a servant. If we're supposed to be like Jesus, shouldn't we serve? If we're supposed to be like Jesus, shouldn't we love? If we're supposed to be like Jesus, shouldn't we give our time? He gave all his time to people. Can you imagine Zacchaeus on the tree? And like, Cece, what a great throne message. She talked about the woman who grabbed his robe. Can you imagine Jesus walking down the pathway and everybody grabbing him and saying, Jesus, come heal me. Jesus, I want to talk to you. And Jesus gets to that tree and looks up, knowing who he was. Said, Zacchaeus, come down. See, Zacchaeus positioned himself. And you too have probably positioned yourself being here. I don't know how you got here, but you positioned yourself here. But what you might not know is, like Zacchaeus, you came to seek Jesus, but Jesus is actually seeking you right now. When he looked up to the tree, he said, I know you. Come down. Let's hang out. Let's go to dinner. Let's go home. I want to spend time with you. That was the shocker for Zacchaeus. Because he thought no one wanted to do anything with him. And you might think that too. But Jesus is saying, I want to seek you. I want to seek you out today. I want to do life with you. I want to do life with you, Rodrigo. I want to do life with you, Matt. I want to do life with you, Joel. I want to do life with you, Desiree. If you want to bow your heads and close your eyes. The last verse, in verse 10, it says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. If you're feeling lost today, if you're feeling you're trying to find life, but it's not happening. I'm trying to grow my career. I'm trying to study as hard as I can. But it's not happening. You don't find the fulfillment. You don't find the abundance. Jesus says, I want to enter into your world. This is the greatest opportunity that you will ever get. And it is to respond to Jesus today. It is to respond to do life with him. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. There's three people here today. There's three people here today. Types of people that need to respond to Jesus. The first, I've never found life in Jesus before, Jerry. And I want this life that you're talking about. I want the life and life abundantly that Jesus promises. You will have an opportunity to raise your hand in a few moments. I never said yes to Jesus. I want to say yes to Jesus today. The second type of person, Jerry, I already found life in Jesus, but for whatever reason, you feel distant. For whatever reason, you feel far away from him because of hardship, because of obstacles, because of whatever, because of loss, whatever that was. You just need to recommit your life to him. That's the second type of person. And it's all good. Jesus says, hey, it's all good. He loves when people return home. He loves when you come back. Look at the prodigal son. Don't feel like you can't come back because if you already came once, he will take you every time. The third type of person, you've been coming on and off. You don't know what this is. You don't know if you even should be here. But you want to be sure of eternity with Jesus. You want that assurance that you could do life with Jesus and have eternity with him in heaven. I'm going to count to three. And if you are one of those three people, I want you to raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your heads bowed for the privacy of this room. This is a decision between you and God. This is an opportunity that God is presenting to you. And he wants you to take it. Forget the other opportunity. Forget the things that are holding you back. Take this opportunity to do life with him. Today's your day, church.